DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I'm in a really good mood today, really excited about what's going to happen here over the course of the next 24 hours. As I told the video audience yesterday, really over the course of the next few weeks, it really seems like with what's about to happen tonight with five-star defensive tackle Trayvon Walker as he's making his announcement, we'll have live coverage on all the Dog Nation video channels of this, really a lot this evening. It really seems like we're sort of going into an age here in which we're going to have just big football news week after week after week. The season really, in a lot of ways, seems like it's here now. It seems like, you know, we're kind of in that mode. And, you know, it'll start with Trayvon Walker tonight. It'll continue with the big reveal of the brand-new recruiting facility this weekend. Jeff Sintel all over that as part of his Dog Nation coverage at DogNation.com. And so we're going to have a lot of stuff, you know, kind of unfolding here and moving towards the start of the 2018 season. It really seems like we've kind of turned that corner. And football season's really here now, and I'm really excited about that. I'm also excited about Trayvon Walker tonight in particular. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. My predictions often are wrong. You know, I don't know that you come to this show for my predictions. I think you come to this show because of the conversation that we have. Occasionally, though, you know, obviously I'm going to sort of put myself out there on something. And, you know, based on what I'm seeing online here, your chatter at our forum, for instance, at forum.dognation.com, you really get the sense that Georgia fans are pretty confident about how this Trayvon Walker announcement tonight's going to go. Now, obviously in recruiting, strange things can happen. You know, weird decisions can be made. We've been surprised before, but there seems to be a general sense of optimism about Trayvon Walker being good news for the good guys tonight when he makes his announcement. I guess it's supposed to go down sometime around 6:30 or 7 p.m., something like that. Well, as I said, we're going to be live on Dog Nation on video tonight on the Facebook, the YouTube, all that, to cover all this for you this evening. Georgia fans feeling pretty good about this. And, you know, I knew I wanted to start the show by talking about Trayvon Walker today. We've said a million times that Walker is probably the most important uncommitted recruit, at least. You can debate about committed recruits, but certainly among the uncommitted guys, the most important uncommitted recruit in the entire country. And, you know, I was starting to think, you know, why is it that Georgia fans are so confident here? Why is it that Georgia fans feel so good about their chances of seeing their team land Trayvon Walker this evening? And, you know, obviously there's potentially a lot of reasons, but I think ultimately it comes down to this. When you compare Trayvon Walker's pitch from Georgia to the pitch that he's gotten from some of his other finalists like South Carolina and Clemson, those are probably the two main competitors here. You mentioned Alabama and Auburn, I guess, a bit too here. But when you look at these other contenders for Trayvon Walker's services, I think it is safe to say that Georgia just has a pitch that's going to be very hard for the other programs to match. First of all, for Georgia, a power program who is deep and elite at virtually every level, every position group. There is one position group, though, where Kirby Smart has admittedly shared some concerns, and it just so happens that's the position that Trayvon Walker plays, defensive line, defensive tackle in particular here. So when you think about why would Trayvon Walker choose Georgia, what is it about Georgia that's so attractive to him? Well, Walker likely being like a lot of recruits these days who looks at the chance of early playing time as maybe being one of the most attractive facets of any program and what it has to offer. Georgia at the defensive line position certainly has that possibility for early playing time. Let's go back to the spring here for evidence of that. Kirby Smart echoed once again there during the spring his concern about what he saw as a real lack of depth for his defensive line. Here's Kirby from back during the spring.
We're struggling a little bit defensively on the defensive line. We just don't have as much depth, and we're not as physical as we need to be. And I don't know if that's a credit to them or a problem for our defense, but something we got to rectify, and we definitely need some help on the depth of the defensive line.
So that's Kirby Smart talking there about needing help for the depth on the defensive line. Maybe in the spring when it's spoken, that's a challenge to the guys currently on the roster. But here in the summer, it's also sort of a wink and a nod to potential recruits like Trayvon Walker of, hey, take a look at how bad we need you here. This is how bad we need you based on how little depth we have. In fact, to kind of go deeper on that subject, in that same press conference when Kirby Smart was talking about that lack of depth for his defensive line, you know, he did mention, or it was asked to him in that press conference, well, what about guys coming in this summer? And at the time, we thought it was going to be Jordan Davis and Tramell Walthour coming in to help out with Georgia there. What about those guys kind of coming in and providing some help? And Kirby Smart put his hand up and said, hold on now, there are not as many guys coming in to help as you might think. Here's Kirby again.
Not many in that position. So, I mean, we're excited about the guys we got coming in. I think it's tough to play as a true freshman. You know, we had that crowd of Tyler and Julian and Mikhail and David, all that really helped us that one year. We're certainly going to need some help in depth-wise. I think the key is going to be staying healthy, because losing two guys like John and Trenton, I don't think you'd think it would have as much of an effect, but we really only gained one in Devontae Wyatt. So the sum effect of that with Michael Barnett being a little out has put us short. So
you're looking for a reason why Trayvon Walker might choose Georgia when he makes his announcement tonight. There may not be a bigger reason than that. The fact that Georgia, because of a lack of depth along the defensive line, just gives Walker a chance when he gets here in 2019, especially in 2019, considering the fact that a lot of juniors and seniors off this current roster will maybe be gone by then. Certainly the seniors will definitely be gone. Juniors might be gone. It just opens a door for Trayvon Walker to get some real early playing time. As Kirby just said there, not easy to do as a true freshman, but certainly the kind of thing that Walker's probably thinking about. Another reason why I think the pitch that Georgia's making to Trayvon Walker may just be more effective than the other pitches he's getting from their programs here around the South is the stability that's currently enjoyed at Georgia with its head coach Kirby Smart. And we heard audio yesterday from Trayvon Walker saying that Smart's been instrumental in his recruitment, that Smart's kind of taken a bit of a lead role here in making Trayvon Walker feel wanted by Georgia. And when Trayvon Walker looks at the situation at Georgia, he sees a coach that he knows he can depend on for being at Georgia for some time to come. In fact, here is what Trayvon Walker recently told Jeff Sintel from Dog Nation. By the way, Jeff will join us here in a couple of minutes. But I want to show you this quote, and if you're listening, I'll read it to you. If you're watching, you can see it there on your screen. Trayvon Walker about why he might choose Georgia, leaning on the stability that Kirby Smart provides. Walker says, the answer there is the coaching staff. Kirby Smart just signed a 7-year deal. That's a firm foundation, Trayvon Walker says. You know that head coach is now committed and not going to be moving around. I know that man will be my coach for all the years I'm there if I choose to go there. I like the security there, knowing that he's going to be at Georgia now. Once again, that's Trayvon Walker speaking to Jeff Sintel from Dog Nation. And you really, you know, hear that contract that Kirby Smart recently signed, the success that Smart has in year two, the popularity that Smart has with boosters and fans, all of this equals up to a kind of a comfortable situation for Trayvon Walker of, if I go to Georgia, I kind of know what I'm getting into. I'm getting in on the ground floor of a coach who's likely going to be at UGA for a very long time to come and likely creating a whole lot more success in future years. And it's kind of a nice thing to sort of slot into that here in what would be, I guess, Kirby Smart's fourth year by the time that Walker gets on campus. I think that is legitimately a pretty big reason for Walker to consider choosing UGA. The third reason, and you know, this is either the most important reason or maybe it's not an important reason at all. Sort of depends on your perspective on this. But Walker from Upson Lee in Thomaston, Georgia, gets a chance tonight, maybe if he were to choose to do so, to become a hero for his in-state school. And there is just a real price that comes along with that. There's some prestige that comes along with that. It's sort of intangible. It's sort of hard to define exactly how much it means. It seems to mean different things to different people. But for Trayvon Walker, an in-state defensive tackle, the best in this entire state at that position, and it just so happens that at the time that he's getting ready to make his decision, Georgia needs that position more so than anything else. There's just a level of, I used the word a moment ago, I can't think of a better word to use than prestige. There's just a level of prestige that comes along with that that I think is the kind of thing that Georgia can offer that South Carolina can't. Yes, he's got two cousins on the South Carolina roster, but that's not the same thing as being a hero to a whole bunch of people in your hometown who likely cheer for the Georgia Bulldogs and would see you go on to do big things for the school they've been watching and cheering for their entire lives. There's something special about that. And I believe, personally, the magnetism of that specialness will be too much for Trayvon Walker to say no to tonight. In addition to the fact that Georgia can offer him early playing time, and in addition to the fact that Kirby Smart is firmly cemented as a coach of this program for many years to come. Those three reasons, maybe more so than anything else, one of the big reasons that I think that Trayvon Walker is going to choose Georgia tonight. The one thing I know for sure is this one's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be fun for me to cover. Jeff Sintel will be there in Upson Lee High School tonight in Thomaston, Georgia. He'll be bringing you the sights and sounds from the moment itself, and Dog fans buckling up for a wild ride here as the 2019 class starts to take shape. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Hello to you. Thank you for being with us. If you watch us on video live, Dog Nation Facebook, Dog Nation YouTube, Dog Nation Twitter feed, we're there for you every morning at 10 a.m. And as I said, we'll be back for you tonight for the Trayvon Walker announcement. We'll cover it live right here on Dog Nation. So however you get to us on video today, is the same way. You'll check out the Trayvon Walker announcement here tonight. We're also on the radio at noon every day on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We love being with our friends there in the Classic City. And in podcast form, pretty much wherever podcasts are found, on the Apple Podcast devices, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player is part of the Android devices, SoundCloud, the worldfamousdognation.com, just pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. We're glad you have found Dog Nation Daily, and we thank Marco's Pizza for making it all possible. Right now, you can say hello, Primo, with a great offer. Two medium, two-topping pizzas, just $6.99 each. Now, I've told you before, I kind of like the sausage and pepperoni on mine. My kids sort of like cheese and then extra cheese. They haven't really branched out a whole lot into the toppings. But my son always drives me crazy because he always says, and he's six, he says, Daddy, I just want cheese pizza. But then when he sees his cheese pizza, he looks over there and sees like my, you know, sort of golden brown toppings, red pepperoni just sort of popping on the beautiful, authentic Italian quality pizza. All of a sudden, my pizza looks pretty good to him. He starts eating some of mine, too. But I guess that's to be expected. Either way, it makes everybody in our family happy. Great offer. Go to Marcos.com to find the Marcos nearest you and find out how you can really sample that great, authentic Italian quality pizza made every store, every day, the Italian way. We will get Jeff Sintel here coming up in just a moment. Before we do that, though, there are a couple of points that I want to make in addition to the Trayvon Walker story when it comes to Georgia defensive linemen. A couple of these things have been sort of rattling around in my brain a bit. We had various guests that have brought these things up over the last few days, and I wanted to at least spend a minute talking about this as we kind of get ready for the start of practice here, which will be right there at the beginning of August. We haven't heard the official announcement yet, but it's coming here at any given moment. In fact, by the time you hear this show, maybe Georgia's already sort of cleared that up and let us know what's going to happen with that. But nonetheless, when we start seeing Georgia practices, one of the names that I start to be a little curious about is one of the names I mentioned a moment ago, the incoming freshman defensive tackle for Georgia, Jordan Davis, a guy who in some respects was a little bit of a recruiting afterthought given the fact that he wasn't that high 4- and 5-star prospect the way that so many of Georgia's 2018 signees were. Jordan Davis wasn't really like that necessarily, but there is at least one Georgia Bulldog who's pretty impressed with the workouts that Jordan Davis has already been a part of this summer. Let me show you what Jonathan Ledbetter, the Georgia defensive end and one of the real leaders for this Georgia team this season, let me show you what he had to say about Jordan Davis at SEC Media Days. Now, to be clear here, Ledbetter was pretty slow to want to praise any of the true freshmen, didn't really want to talk that way about them too much, as Jeff Sintel noted at DogNation.com, but he did have one nice thing to say about Jordan Davis. Let me show this to you on the screen. He says about Jordan Davis, Ledbetter says, he's just like a big body coming in, but he's still a little boy. It is crazy. He squats like he's a senior. I watched him do 5 plates. That's 490 pounds, Jeff Sintel explains. The other day when we were squatting, and he's lifting it up like he has got marshmallows on his back. It's just crazy. So, you know, Jonathan Ledbetter says, okay, we need depth. We need help on the defensive line. Maybe Trayvon Walker gives that to George in the future. But how about right now for 2018? It sounds like Ledbetter thinks this big guy, Jordan Davis, this incoming freshman, taking on size, taking on strength. It sounds like Ledbetter's curious to see what he does once practice starts here this summer. And I guess among those who are also curious might be Georgia coach Kirby Smart, who let us know back when Davis, and at the time his sort of partner at the same position, Tramell Walthour, who ended up going to junior college, when those guys initially came in as a part of Georgia's 2018 signing class, Kirby Smart had good things to say about both guys. Here is Kirby from back then.
We think Jordan is a tremendous football player. He's great size and great toughness. Same thing with Tramell. I think it's a position of need for us. So those guys are going to fill a great role for us, because when you start looking at the SEC, I mean, the defensive line is what makes a difference in all these teams. And that's where we want to be. We want to have big physical guys that can rush the passer and push the pocket. And we think both those guys give us that.
Yeah, so I'm really interested in seeing what those guys bring to the table. I mean, you know, obviously there's a reason why the Trayvon Walker news stands as, you know, as important as it does for Georgia here tonight, because of the fact that Georgia has not really brought in a player of that caliber at this position in a couple of recruiting cycles. You've seen more of the 3-star variety of defensive tackle than you've seen the 4- and 5-star guy as of late. That's a reason why the Walker news is going to get such outsized attention here. But that doesn't mean that 3-star guys can't occasionally be diamonds in the rough. It doesn't mean that 3-star guys can't come in and really provide you something for Georgia. And I think that Jordan Davis has a chance to maybe do that. Certainly,
he's got the most important spec taken care of right away, and that's the size that he brings to the table. It seems like Ledbetter's been impressed. It sounds like Kirby Smart saw something in him on the recruiting trail, and maybe Georgia fans will get a glimpse of that themselves once practices start here in just a little bit. There's another defensive lineman I want to talk about, but I'm not going to have time to talk about him right now. I thought that Mike Griffith had a really interesting piece on Georgia's graduate transfer defensive lineman, Jay Hayes, and I just think that Hayes becomes kind of a fun part of the storyline for Georgia here this summer, too. So if you don't mind, I want to push that back for a little bit. We'll do Jay Hayes talk a little bit later on, including letting you know some of the things that Kirby Smart had to say about Hayes last week as part of SEC Media Days. I do think that's going to be fun. But for now, though, we need to get ready to shift gears. Here on our program, the man of the hour in many ways is the five-star defensive tackle Trayvon Walker, the future of Georgia at that position, maybe, if he chooses the Dogs tonight. Of course, South Carolina's made its pitch, Clemson's made its pitch, and obviously Walker's got a lot to sift through here as he gets ready to make his announcement. A guy that's going to be on hand and on the scene for that this evening is our buddy Jeff Sintel. Let's talk to him right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Time for a Marlowe's Tavern tell-all here with Jeff Sintel on this Tuesday here on a Dog Nation Daily. And Jeff, I said this off the top of the show that it sort of feels like we've kind of turned that corner of, you know, sort of speculating about what big news might be. Now we're kind of in a rhythm where I think we're going to get a lot of big news over the course of the next few weeks. It seems like there's some recruiting dominoes very close to getting ready to fall. And then at that point in time, the season will be upon us, and obviously it'll be 100 miles an hour after that. It sort of feels like we're kind of finally here, doesn't it?
Brendan, I would say this is the appetizer to the 2018 season. And good morning to everybody out there. Hope everybody didn't get rained on too much last night. I would say this would probably be a pretty fitting appetizer, and there will be news one way or the other coming over the next few weeks.
So I want to try to dissect as much as I can on this Trayvon Walker stuff with you, and I guess let me start with this. You know, I thought that Walker gave some really interesting quotes to you at Dog Nation. It's been a few days ago now. Really fascinating piece, and at the time, Walker's mindset seemed to be more like there was a chance that his decision was going to actually come somewhere in, like, the middle of his senior year, maybe even, if I'm remembering correctly, all the way into October. He was considering taking this thing out, and all of a sudden there's sort of an about-face on that, and now the announcement comes tonight here before the senior season begins. What is with the acceleration of the timeline from Trayvon Walker here?
Well, Trayvon told me at the opening in Texas that this is only, Brandon, where the dead period allows some serenity, I guess, for a lot of these recruits. And what Trayvon was able to do is he was able to sit back, chill. Not as much communication, no trips needed to be taken. He could focus on maybe some of his high school sports team and those competitive aspects. And he said it gave him a lot of time to think about his decision. It was funny, those close to Trayvon always thought that he would make his decision right before his senior season, right up before the start of his senior year, while Trayvon was giving himself an out or a check down to maybe extend as far as halfway through his senior season. Whatever the reasons, he's found clarity over the last 3 weeks, and he is now ready to make his college decision known. And I think it's pretty interesting, at least the way I saw it, that you know everybody was going to want to know where he was going to be at this weekend, even if he planned to make a trip. Clemson has a cookout. I think Auburn has a thing. Georgia has this little thing called Reveal. We might have talked about it a couple of times so far on this program. So I think maybe this will allow him to make his answer known a few days early about when or if any travel plans he's hoping to make this weekend.
I thought you had a really interesting piece at Dog Nation inside the Trayvon Walker article that I just referenced a moment ago, kind of comparing his recruitment to the recruitment of Rick Sandage a year ago. Sandage, who a little bit like Trayvon Walker, was choosing between South Carolina and Georgia, ultimately chose South Carolina because I think it's fair to say the individual attention he got from Will Muschamp, the head coach of the Gamecocks, made him feel like a priority. Now, you had an interview with Trayvon Walker back in March where Walker said some of those same things about Kirby Smart, that Kirby Smart was texting him a lot, that stopping by, I believe he means at his school, Upson Lee, to see him a lot, that Kirby Smart, the head coach of Georgia, had made Walker feel like a priority. Is it fair to say that Smart has done for Trayvon Walker what Will Muschamp did for Rick Sandage?
Well, I think that's fair, but the thing with Sandage and Muschamp is it wasn't just Muschamp. It was the strength coach. It was the defensive line coach. It was this area recruiting coordinator. It was the sports and nutrition staff. It was the strength and conditioning coordinator. It was the academic support specialist that will have his degree future in their hands during his time in Columbia. It was more like South Carolina threw 15 to 20 names into the fray with Rick Sandage that they all knew him and his family very well. But for Georgia, even as much as, you know, Rick Sandage's favorite was Georgia, it was basically a recruitment that was very much Trey Scott, and then at the very end, big names and heavy hitters like Kirby Smart and Jonas Jennings came in. But I think in the end, it was just Sandage looked around and he saw more stakeholders that he knew would invest in him and would pour themselves into his future at South Carolina than what had been presented to him at Georgia. And I think with, you know, Trevon, I think it's a matter here of I'm going to take him at his word for what he said to me at the opening in Texas earlier this month. He said the biggest single reason he would consider Georgia would probably be the type of players he would be able to compete against every day at Georgia. That might be the second team offensive line, might be the second best offensive line in the SEC East. And he knows he would not just have to rise above accomplished defensive linemen at Georgia, but he would also have to rise above accomplished defensive linemen against a very stern test every day in practice with a lot of five stars, even on the second team at Georgia on that young offensive line.
This is potentially irrelevant based on whatever Trayvon Walker does this evening. But, Jeff, why was it, if you want to go back to a year ago, that Walker was apparently close to committing to Clemson? If this is an elite defensive tackle prospect, how did Clemson get in on Walker that early? And how was it that Clemson was almost on the verge of getting a commitment? Maybe that's the wrong wording here, but certainly the relationship was really strong between the program and the player.
Yeah, we talked to Trevon about that, and he told me that the first school that really snatched his heart and his mind, and first off, you got to remember here, Trevon, when I met him 3.5 years ago, he struck me as a super grounded kid, very, very much a middle Georgia, South Georgia young man, very firm roots, very good family. Trevon's the type of guy that polices his parents about what time they're coming home, making sure that they're driving safe. He's a very well-rounded kid, and for him to sort of feel that type of way about Clemson was very interesting. He told me that was the first school where he really seriously thought this could very well be the place. I don't know if it was the slide or the all the many things they have there at Dabo World that really can attract a young man's eye, but Clemson was a school that lodged itself very firmly, very firm, strong impression right out of the gate with Trevon Walker. And that was one of those schools that Georgia and South Carolina have to deal with, especially for a marquee recruit. I don't know how many people are really aware of this, but not only is he the nation's number two defensive tackle and about number 24 or so overall, but that's on the 24/7 sports composite. Right now, on 24/7 sports, a very well-respected scouting organization, they have him now, after the opening, as the number one player in Georgia, and they even have him higher rated than Jaden Hazelwood. And should he choose Georgia, on the 24/7 sports pure scale, the only player rated higher than Walker who comes in at number 7 overall for the Georgia board would be Nolan Smith at number 1 overall. So this, you can say all the things about Trey Scott, you can say all the things about the five-star, the need for the marquee defensive tackle, the in-state recruiting. Trevon Walker, should he choose Georgia later today, would become the second highest-rated kid on the board for the 2019 class.
It's our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all here with Jeff Sintel. We do it every Tuesday on Dog Nation Daily. And you all know I'm a big fan of Marlowe's Tavern. Jeff is, too. And right now, for that summer special menu, you talk about a great night out, you and your significant other. I love the Kansas City ribeye that's on the menu right now at a Marlowe's Tavern. It comes with a twice-baked potato and some wonderful grilled asparagus. I want you to pair that with the Marlowe's Tavern exclusive. You can only get this at Marlowe's Tavern. They've teamed up with Scofflaw Brewing Company for what's called called the Blindside IPA. It's a special IPA that you can only get at Marlowe's Tavern. It's the kind of sort of chef-inspired food, you know, local brewery connection, you know, really, you know, craft cocktail. I mean, Marlowe's Tavern is just a great, great place to get dinner, and I don't know that anything is sort of more better embodied by that than that great Kansas City strip steak, the Blindside IPA, the twice baked potato. It's right there for you at your local Marlowe's Tavern. We love Marlowe's. Text the word Marlowe's to 24242, and you become a Marlowe's insider today to find out more about what's happening at the Marlowe's closest to you. Jeff, let me change the subject here off of Trayvon Walker for a moment. Of course, you'll be in at Upson Lee tonight. We'll have Dog Nation coverage on video and all the various Dog Nation video channels. But for a moment, let me hit on a couple other recruits here kind of quickly. And let me start with John Emery Jr. There's a lot of internet chatter coming out of Louisiana that LSU is turning up the heat on Emery here. Obviously, that's a running back we've talked about a lot. It sounds like LSU really does not want to see this young man get out of the state. Is that kind of the chatter you're hearing, too, that LSU's putting up a pretty big fight on Emery at the moment?
Yeah, man. Brandon, this thing is going to go several rounds. Let's go back to the genesis of the John Emery Jr. recruiting. And that was Georgia giving him his first offer. Definitely of late, and you know, Del McGee is doing Del McGee things here. He has not let up at all. But of late, at least going back to May, June, July with the news cycle, you have Mississippi State as a team that had kind of established itself as the most attractive to John Emery. He was planning on doing a July 7th decision commitment. He backed that off. And I think one of the schools that really impressed upon him to back off that July 7th commitment was Georgia. LSU was also in the running there as well. But now LSU, home state LSU, has picked up a lot of those crystal ball mojo, that momentum that everybody looks to point to today about foreshadowing about a recruit's decision. We remind ourselves that he does plan to make his decision before his senior season. And John Emery Jr., is a guy that I think I wrote this at the opening when I had my ability to size up a lot of guys. I think there are four names Georgia would love to add for its one running back slot potentially in 2019. Those are Trey Sanders and Noah Kane. But over the summer, maybe since May, June, it has become clear to me that LSU commit Ty Davis and also John Emery Jr., two backs out of Louisiana, look to me to be as good have a fit for Georgia as any running back in the class of 2019. And Ty Davis will be at Georgia on Saturday this weekend. If you guys want to know a lot of names on the reveal that will be attending the reveal, now there's a reminder, there's a camp on Friday, kind of a traditional camp. And then Saturday is more of a presentation premier event as Georgia unveils its new lockers, its new recruiting lounge, and the recruits get a taste of what all those new improvements look like for the West End Zone as part of that $65 million price tag. And there's a lot of RSVPs already that we put up early this week on the Dog Nation forum. We started doing that, I guess, sometime last night.
Yeah, I want to actually tell people about that. And it's kind of funny. We've obviously done this now a million times together. You knew exactly where I was going next because I do want to talk to you about Ty Davis here for a moment. And for the people who are not aware, if you go to the forum at forum.dognation.com, Jeff, you've actually done a great piece of content here where you're updating the visitor list for this big reveal, West End Zone recruiting facility, locker room reveal. You're updating information as you get it right there, and you've already posted in this thread several times. People are writing back to you. You're answering a lot of questions in there, but you can actually go into that thread and see a lot of the confirmations that you're getting, and a lot of this stuff is sort of late-breaking and changing up to the moment, and you're doing a great job of keeping up within in that there. And Ty Davis is one of those names that you mentioned as being there this weekend, confirmed, I believe, and I think you may have just said this, for the event on Saturday, but maybe not the camp on Friday. But does Davis now become sort of extra important for Georgia given the additional degree of competition that seems to be out there for John Emery right now?
Davis is just kind of a different back. I think you know, you look at Emery Jr., and I think he's right at the 6 feet mark, and he's probably 205. Very fluid, very smooth type back. Going to remind you a lot of, you know, let's just use the easiest benchmarks here. He's going to remind you a lot more of maybe a cross between a Sony Michel and a DeAndre Swift. Ty Davis, on the other hand, is something that would be a massive battering ram should he choose Georgia or should he flip to Georgia. And he told me at the opening as well that the only really school that has a good shot at any shot at all of flipping him away from LSU, I mean, he's literally 5 minutes, his high school campus is 5 minutes away from Tiger Stadium, if that, in Baton Rouge. But the only school that would have a chance would be Georgia. And can you just imagine, you know, Ty Davis is he has all-around skill, and he's very fast. He's under 11 in the 100 meters. But he is a guy, 225 already, that would just wear on guys in the fourth quarter. That big Georgia line would just be force of will for four quarters on the opposing defensive line, and then Georgia starts hitting them with that big 225-pound back, very much in the Nick Chubb mold here, you might say. And Ty Davis, and it's very interesting, Brennan. I know you're following along with all the dangling plot threads here, so I'll just connect the pair.
Please.
Should John Emery Jr. wind up at LSU, I think that would only maybe increase the pitch, the pull, the magnetism of maybe Georgia to land or to flip Ty Davis away from LSU in that 2019 class. And also needs to be said that whatever happens with Ty Davis, whatever happens with John Emery Jr., it also kind of opens up the running lanes there a little bit for Trey Sanders and also Noah Cain. Let's not forget both of those backs as well. Those are both two truly very talented backs. I know everybody tries to look at the top of the food chain, but we're all talking about four backs here. I think Ty Davis is vastly underrated. I think we're all talking about four backs here that definitely belong among the top five, top six backs in the country. And when Georgia's trying to add that to what they already have, clearly impressive there.
Well, let me just follow up on this really, really quick, and then I want to talk to you about a couple of other subjects here as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all. But, and I'm not even sure how candid you want to be about this, but is it safe to say when it comes to John Emery Jr. that he's a little more interested in depth charts than other running backs are? I mean, I can think back to what Elijah Holyfield once told you about the fact that, you know, basically he didn't care, you know, who Georgia signed at the running back position other than him, that he didn't want to be in, you know, a locker room with a bunch of duds or whatever it was that he said, that he expected intense competition with the running backs. Is it safe to say that maybe Emery Jr.'s perspective on running back depth charts is slightly different than that?
Yeah, Emery Jr. doesn't want to be the man, but he would want to be a guy that can get time right away, and he needs to be shown a path where he can get 10, 15 carries a year. Maybe not be the marquee guy, but be one of the guys that's getting carries. That's something John Emery Jr. wants to see. And, you know, John Emery, very interesting. I probably need to report this sooner rather than later. But he's gotten quite the friendship with Justin Fields. Maybe I've mentioned this on your program already, but when he goes to Georgia, when he makes his trips to Georgia, Justin is the guy he usually hangs with and sort of unofficially hosts him a lot as well. And that's one thing he knows about Georgia with all the schools that are recruiting him, that he does say Georgia would have the best possible pieces around him when you factor in quarterback, offensive line, receivers, other running backs to kind of share the burden there. It's very interesting, Brian. Not many of these elite running backs anymore are interested in becoming a school's all-time leading rusher or even setting the NCAA single season rushing record, because they know how many reps and how many dings it's going to take on their body for someone to accumulate that sort of mass yardage feat.
Yeah, without a doubt, that's really well said. All right, a couple quick issues, and then we'll let you go. Nakobe Dean, as you reported at the forum at forum.dognation.com, the five-star linebacker not coming to the reveal this weekend. Does that mean anything to you one way or another that Dean won't be there?
I think he's got a conflict with his high school team there. I don't think it means much at all. Nakobe is going to be at Georgia later this year on an official visit. I just think that right there, Georgia's not going to get everybody they want. I mean, there are definitely some names in contention there that it will be very interesting to see where they wind up. Some of those are very much in doubt right now. DJ Daniel is not sure where he's going to be. A name to watch right there might be Clay Webb. Tyreek Stevenson is currently planning to show up in Miami and make the easier trip. There are a lot of names to kind of cycle down and check down there for as well. And if you look right now on the forum, I started even adding in some 2020s as well.
Yeah.
Because some of those really, really name and noteworthy guys are already planning to be at the UGA reveal event as well. One of those would be 2020 offensive tackle Tate Ratledge out of Darlington. A lot of guys are going to be there. It's going to be probably, when you look at it, one of the single biggest recruiting weekends because of the spectacle of the reveal and the locker rooms and Georgia showing strength of the program. And, you know, one of those things kids like to say to each other when they walk around and somebody's got on some Gucci shoes or got on a nice backpack, is they say to each other, you know, you can't hide money. Well, that will be a situation where you look at Georgia and you look at the $65 million price tag, and they will probably say you can't hide money when it comes around the Georgia program now with the indoor practice facility and now the West End Zone expansion. And a lot of players realize that stuff and gear and construction and buildings usually means a viable football program where things are on the up and up.
It's the Marlowe's Tavern Tell-All here on Dog Nation Daily, and I will tell you that one of the most popular appetizers in Marlowe's history are the flatbreads. Well, right now for the summer, for a limited time, they do have some special flatbreads. They have like a series of these. We had one when we had dinner there last week, Jeff. It was fantastic with like some barbecue chicken on top of it and some really, really creative stuff. It's an awesome, awesome appetizer at Marlowe's Tavern for a part of the summer menu. Are the special handmade flatbreads back once again. Make sure you try those out. I've kept you long, Jeff. Let me squeeze in one final issue here, and then we'll get ready to let you go. Obviously, you're on your way to Upson Lee High School for this evening. Tymon Mitchell is a defensive lineman who, frankly, is a relatively new name for me. It's a guy that you've written about at DogNation.com, and it sounds like, from a Georgia fan's perspective, maybe this is a guy that we ought to take some time to get to learn here a little bit. Could you tell us a little bit about Mitchell?
Yeah, take some time and get to know that name. There are a lot of reasons. He'll be at the reveal on Saturday. That's Georgia in his top three. He will give Georgia an official visit. He's also a guy that Bill Norton, who will be at the reveal, I'm not sure about whether he'll have red hair or not, currently tells me he will not dye his hair red. And that's a very Bill Norton type question to ask if you know Mr. Norton at all. The guys that he has worked on to bring to Tennessee, to bring to Georgia with him from Tennessee, Zion Logue was one of those, and Tymon Mitchell was one of those as well. Those are two Tennessee guys. They're in a group chat together. They've been in a group chat together. Coach Trey Scott is in that group chat as well. And the thing to know about Tymon Mitchell, and that I think is a very big boilerplate for UGA recruiting going forward, as I kind of try to drop Easter eggs sometime in all those words we write daily in the intel. And the really big Easter egg out of that story was how Tymon Mitchell is an example of the new Georgia recruiting methodology going forward. Looks to me like Georgia is getting the talent stockpiled in the cupboards. They're going to have the talent. And now what they're going to go after a very highly intelligent, academically minded player. Looks to me like the staff believes that those guys can be good locker room guys, good chemistry guys. Perfect example here would be Mr. Mitchell. His father went to Vanderbilt. His great uncle was the first black player at Tennessee who overcame a lot with that specific individual story right there. But Mitchell has a 25 on his ACT, and he has a 3.6 at a private school in Nashville. And that's what Georgia wants to see with the players it is recruiting going forward. Those young men that are apt and can more than handle their business in the classroom, that's one example. There's one thing there where Georgia really looks to change in the coming years. There's been some stats circulated about around social media about how Georgia has done over the last few years in terms of graduation rates of its players. I think there was one specific chart that came out that looked at graduation rates out of all of the major bowl teams last year. And I think Georgia's graduation rate was somewhere in the 60s. It might have been the last or the next to last among those bowl teams. And I do think that the staff will try to move forward and recruit those highly intelligent, great ACT guys, maybe the type of guys that have the opportunity to go to a Michigan, a Notre Dame, a Stanford, a Vanderbilt, and a Virginia. That's kind of going to be on the shopping list for Georgia. Now, they want them to still play great football. There's no doubt about that. But Mr. Mitchell gave me a very interesting story how Kirby Smart relayed to him about how impressed he was with that ACT score, and he said basically he's a defensive lineman and he has a 25 on the ACT. And Kirby told Mr. Mitchell that type of thing really doesn't exist in major big-time college football where your defensive linemen score 25 on the ACT. But that is the vision that Smart and company have for the Georgia program going forward.
Jeff, that is a really fascinating look at what's kind of going on there with Mitchell, a new name for many of us. We're looking forward to a guy who is not a new name for most of us, Trayvon Walker, his announcement tonight. You're a part of that live from Upson Lee High School. We're going to be here in our Atlanta studio covering this on video, all the various Dog Nation video channels. We appreciate your coverage, you being on the road for us here, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Take it easy, everybody. Have a great day.
You too, Jeff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
I think it's really interesting what Jeff says there, that, you know, for Georgia, who obviously is in sort of a recruiting place now, where it can kind of go after anybody that it wants, you know, obviously it swims in the deepest possible recruiting waters, and when you do that, you have success in that regard. It just gives you an opportunity to be just a little choosier, or more choosy, whichever the right way to say that is. And obviously, as Jeff said, the number one most important thing is when you're paid to win and lose, win games, avoid losses, you want players who can play. But if you can bring in a player who can play, who is also good academically, who's also a potential team captain, who's also, you know, someone that's going to exhibit really positive leadership, then obviously that's the guy that you would rather have most of all. You don't want headaches. You know, listen, coaching can be a strenuous activity. It's hard enough just trying to go out and beat your opponent who's obviously working just as hard as you are. It becomes even worse when you have headaches to deal with. And Kirby Smart says, I can now be choosy enough that I'm going to select football players who also aren't going to cause me issues off the field. Football players who are also going to sort of take care of their business and be, you know, the kinds of guys that you want representing the program. And if you're a Georgia fan, you love that brand new era of Georgia football there. I think that's really fascinating from Jeff Sintel. With that in mind, let me transition to our SEC through here. And I want to remind you that Kroger's got a great offer for you right now. If you download the Kroger app, you're going to get $5 off your next purchase of $50 or more at your local Atlanta Kroger stores. So download the Kroger app. Go to wherever you get apps to take care of yourself there. The Kroger app, what a great deal. $5 off the purchase of $50 or more. For those of you at your Atlanta area Kroger, really good stuff there. Speaking of headaches caused by off-field problems, Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt's got some to deal with. VolQuest, the first to report this. Ryan Claxton, the defensive line we told you about a few days ago, facing some criminal charges stemming from a fight with his girlfriend or an argument with his girlfriend, whatever the most appropriate word to use there is. He was initially suspended from team activities. He's now been dismissed from the Tennessee program. This is probably, to be frank, not a huge loss for Tennessee. Faxton really didn't play anything to speak of in his freshman season 2017. I don't know how big of a part of the plans he would have been for Jeremy Pruitt here in 2018. I think new coaches generally let's sort of like to sort of lay a foundation for this is how discipline's going to be handled. I think they got a chance to do that with Ryan Faxton here, so this is probably sort of a, you know, as expected outcome for Faxton given the charges that were against him. Obviously, he has a chance to defend himself in a court of law, but it looks like his time as a Tennessee football player is coming to an end here. Speaking of Tennessee, something else I wanted to get to. Kind of an interesting tweet here from Wes Rucker, a guy that covers Tennessee football, with a quote from Eli Wolf, the tight end, who's one of the leaders. Let me read this to you from Eli Wolf here, the Tennessee tight end. Wes Rucker quotes him as saying, and this is all sort of stemming from the criticism of Jeremy Pruitt last week at SEC Media Days, the fact that he was, what was the word that Aaron Murray used, the former Georgia quarterback, called him disrespectful. Pruitt said that he was, you know, sort of unfit to be a head coach, saying he's not really that CEO-type person. Well, Eli Wolf's response is quoted by Wes Rucker here, if your coach is honest and shows you respect, you're going to be honest and show respect back to him. As of right now, none of us have any reason not to respect Jeremy Pruitt, or Coach Pruitt, as he calls him. It's the last part of that I think is really interesting, kind of connecting this back to what Aaron Murray said last week. Eli Wolf says, as of right now, we don't have any reason not to respect him. And there's a way of reading that that makes it seem like it's almost a caveat against what might happen in the future. I don't think that's the way Eli Wolf meant that. But the fact that Wolf's even having to talk about this right now is a problem for Tennessee. Look, the Vols were up against it in terms of, you know, the fans revolted against Greg Schiano, I believe partially with good reason. there weren't a lot of people who wanted this Tennessee job, and some of the guys that John Curry went after, his bosses thought were unhirable. Mike Leach comes to mind here. Tennessee had to settle for who it could get, and Jeremy Pruitt is who it could get. I think that Pruitt's a good recruiter, but he's by no means a perfect head coaching candidate. We're all aware of some of the allegations that were sort of sticking to Pruitt going back to 2015. Dog Nation had a lot of reporting on this at the time here. Given the potential volatility of Pruitt's personality and the intensity of Philip Fulmer's personality, a big guy who likes to sort of be in the spotlight, this could be really a intriguing situation here in the future. I saw where ESPN is teaming up with Alabama for one of these sort of all-access, hard-knocks-type shows on ESPN. Now, given the fact that it's on ESPN, it's probably not going to be quite as gritty and realistic as what you see for HBO's Hard Knocks, which covers the NFL. But, you know, this is another example of something that I think about a lot. You know, Georgia is trying to topple the beast in the SEC right now, which is Alabama. And obviously, when you're the kind of like reigning champ, when you're the kind of, you know, reigning power program in the league, that's just a difficult thing to do. ESPN, because it's going to get some programming out of this, is willing to trade some free publicity for Alabama. And publicity is kind of the fuel for recruiting from time to time. And, you know, it's kind of like some of y'all know I'm a big pro wrestling fan, grew up a huge pro wrestling fan. If you watched pro wrestling growing up, you know that if you're the champion, you can't lose your belt by disqualification. You can't lose your belt by count out. It's called the champion's advantage. And I think in college football, you have the same kind of thing going on here. Duke gets this in basketball. Kentucky gets this to a certain extent. The power prestige programs just sort of get some extra coverage from an outlet like ESPN. I don't think ESPN's biased against Georgia. I think they want good programming. I think Alabama's willing to provide that. Now, because of the fact that it's, you know, recruiting efforts were kind of upended by Georgia a year ago. But knocking Alabama off its perch at the top of the SEC, at the top of college football, is not going to be an easy thing to do. As a last gasp, desperate attempt, Alabama's going to team up with ESPN to get even more sort of free publicity on TV. But it's a challenge that I think that Georgia's up to. One more thing for the SEC through here, and if you're watching on video, this is obviously a little bit more sort of valuable to you than what it is on audio, so I'll do my best to describe this. There is a fan, speaking of Alabama, an Alabama fan. In fact, let me show you some of this video right now. There is a fan who many of you have had your marriage, your wedding, you have your groom's cake. Well, he's, you know, cutting into his Alabama groom's cake. His bride has sort of gotten this for him. And as he pulls the cake out, here's what he discovers on the inside. And if you're watching, you can see him already sort of figuring this out. But the Alabama groom's cake with the big, you know, script A on the front, when you kind of get into it, come to find out, the inside of the cake is the purple and gold of LSU. Now, I don't quite know how, if it's such a great idea to sort of start a wedding off, start a marriage off, with such a touchy subject. If you're an Alabama fan, and LSU fan, this is kind of a touchy subject here. I'm not quite so sure how I would have felt about that if my bride-to-be had done that to me. Luckily for me, she is a Georgia fan, which sort of kind of brings me to the point of our Dog Day Q&A for today. I think we may have mentioned this from time to time in the past. I'm sort of curious to find out what our audience has to say today. That is an example of what you see on the license plate from time to time as a house divided. Are you a part of a house divided? Are you a Georgia fan? Your significant other cheers for somebody else? And if so, how does that truly work out in real life? Because I'm not quite so sure how I would be in a house divided where I cheered for one team and my wife cheered for somebody else. I'd love to hear from you on that. We'll do that as a part of our Dog Day Q&A. Before that, though, let me kind of go back to what I was discussing a little earlier in the program. And, you know, we talked about Georgia's issues on defensive line. And obviously Trayvon Walker tonight may become a way in which Georgia can sort of satisfy that need for the future. But there's also kind of an opportunity to satisfy that need for the present. And I thought that Mike Griffith had a great piece up at DogNation.com where he talked about the impact that Georgia's graduate transfer defensive lineman Jay Hayes has a chance to make on Georgia, what he has a chance to bring to the table for the Dogs. You should go to Dog Nation. You should read this piece from Mike Griffith. I think it's really, really good. And it also kind of reminds me a bit of what Kirby Smart said about Jay Hayes going back to last week's SEC Media Days. And one of the things that he's already been impressed with on Hayes, and he hasn't had a lot of contact because summer's sort of a non-contact period, but has seen some of him in workouts. And there's one thing in particular that's already standing out to Kirby Smart about Jay Hayes. Take a listen to Kirby on Hayes.
Yeah, I've been able to see him in our workouts that we're able to go to. You know, the most unique thing is he's really been a good leader. I think the best thing that happened was having Mo Smith talk about his experience and Mo was I've never seen a leader like Mo that can come in to a bunch of people he doesn't know and get voted captain by those people he didn't know 6 months later. So Mo talked about being able to walk in and embrace that you have been through what they have been through just at a different location. So that does not preclude you from being a leader and stepping up, because this is your senior year. You have graduated college. You do have a tremendous amount of experience playing at a place like Notre Dame in big games. So use that. Be you and use that, and the players will embrace you by how you work and what you do around them.
So I thought that was really interesting, and I think that Kirby Smart really strikes a hopeful tone there. And I thought that was sort of appropriate to include in today's show, given the fact that defensive lineman has been a bit of a theme for us today. And I thought that Mike Griffith's piece at DogNation.com was a really good one. So read Mike on Jay Hayes, and then think about Hayes as he gets ready to begin his Georgia career, being a guy that I think is going to play for Georgia this season. And apparently Kirby Smart thinks that not only will he make an impact on the field as a player, but also potentially as a leader as well, filling a void left by some of the great stars who departed from last year's team. So fun stuff there. I think that Jay Hayes is going to be a really interesting player to watch, one of those guys that may grow into being a bit of a fan favorite. Sort of easy to forget about him, given the fact we haven't seen him in a Georgia uniform yet, but could be really, really good stuff for Hayes here this fall. Also, as I said, I'd love to have you respond to me about our Dog Day Q&A for today, either on video, we'll take some of your comments here in a moment, or if you're listening to the show, hit me up on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. Love to find out what your experience is if you're a part of a house divided like the video many of us just saw a moment ago. Let me also do our Gatorator countdown. 95 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville, beats Florida again. We love to think about that. Our Gatorator countdown every single day here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And then one more piece of news and business to take care of before we get ready to let us all go here today. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week, the next 3 days, I will be off. Final little bit of vacation before we turn the corner and practice begins. So I'll see you on Monday right here on Dog Nation Daily.